All right, it's time to talk about something pretty serious, and that's people who are addicted to fast food. I know you say that's impossible. Well, it's not. Ashley Gearhart, Dr. Ashley Gearhart, joins us right now, a PhD over at the University of Michigan, associate professor of psychology. Dr. Gearhart, thank you for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm doing well today. Looking forward to speaking with you.
Good. I hope this goes well. All right, so tell me how serious this is, please.
Yeah, so if we look right now, diets that are high in junk food are one of the leading causes of death around the globe. They're more related to more deaths and early disease than things like alcohol, risky sex, cigarettes, all of those things combined. So the way we eat, specifically these kind of junky foods, is really having a major impact on the world.
Is this going mostly unchallenged? Everything else you mentioned, everybody's always looking at saying, how do we curb this? Is fast food addiction being challenged at all?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a controversial topic. I think, you know, the way we're generally have a tendency to look at people who are struggling with overeating is we kind of say, man, people, you know, they just need to have some more personal responsibility or just have a little bit more willpower. And for me, that reminds me a lot of the conversations, we had around cigarettes or alcohol kind of before we really fully understand how addictive they were and what they did to the brain. And we're starting to really realize that, you know, the junk food, the really processed food in our environment, it's pretty different than the sort of food our brains evolved to handle. They have such higher levels of really rewarding ingredients like fat and refined carbohydrates like sugar that it's way more effective at activating and triggering those reward centers of our brain. And so, you know, when I look at the fact that, you know, the majority of people in America now are overweight and obese, we really see that that's linked to these, you know, potentially addictive foods just kind of flooding our environment. They're cheap, they're heavily advertised, they're easily accessible, and we start, really being targeted by the food industry even when we're really little kids. They're kind of looking to hook you early.
And Dr. G, that's exactly where I'm going. You know, it's been embedded in my world that, you know, it's just easier. It's instant pleasure. Like if you would put fish and vegetables in a bag at Burger King and I could drive through and get it, I would eat that more often. And I know it's not great for my kids, but it's the easiest, the quickest, and it's not that expensive just to go through the drive through with them.
You are 100% right. I mean, our food environment is set up right now where the default is to eat unhealthy. And I think that's particularly true for people who have young kids, people who maybe don't have a lot of money or a lot of time. That's what's cheap. It's easy accessible. And if it also starts to mimic the effects of an addictive drug, it also speaks to why it might be really hard to cut down or quit, even though you really, really want to. All those factors combine to make it really hard right now in our society to eat healthfully.
Let's talk about the cost for just a little bit. I'm not singling out McDonald's, believe me, but I'm always amazed when I go in there and I look at what they call the dollar menu and I say, you can get a chicken sandwich or most hamburgers for a dollar. If you go to a regular restaurant, that same sandwich could cost you $6 or $7. So they're getting you on the price a bit, aren't they?
Yeah, they absolutely are. And there's a lot of hidden price around the junk food that we eat. There's different economic incentives and tax breaks for companies that advertise and create these really processed junk foods. And so, you know, we are kind of paying the price for those, but it's through our tax dollars. We don't really understand. You know, it's not at the register. It's in the way the economics are set up to artificially make these foods cheaper and easier to sell compared to something like fruits, veggies, fish. You know, they don't get quite the economic incentives to make those foods really cheap.
As I watch the college basketball tournament, every few minutes I get to see, you know, the same food commercial. And, you know, you can get like, you know, for $5 now, you can get, you know, a meal for 12 people. And in the NFL, it was always Papa John's. This season, John went crazy, so it's Pizza Hut, you know, this season. But, I mean, it's like embedded in my head that, like, you know, as I'm watching the game, you know, I'm not thinking about it. But then as soon as my wife says, hey, what do you want to eat? I want Papa John's. I want Pizza Hut. You know, I want what I just saw.
Yeah, our research finds that those advertisements are really powerful, and they're powerful in a way that they're activating parts of our brain that are involved in reward, motivation, the parts of the brain that get kind of hijacked by addiction, that those junk food commercials are doing a really good job activating that part of the brain. And the thing that I think is challenging about it is that we're not always consciously aware of it. Just kind of like you're saying, you're just watching and you're taking it in. And then all of a sudden, you catch yourself in the kitchen looking for a snack. When you see a commercial for something like McDonald's or Papa John's, it doesn't prime you just to want that specific food, but that whole kind of subset of unhealthy, salty, sweet, snacky foods. And so, the next thing you know, you're kind of in that craving mode, and it's really hard to protect yourself against it.
I want to throw this into the equation, too. A lot of times you'll get what they call a value deal or a meal deal, mm-hmm. and it comes with what they call a small soda, but the small is what a large used to be. When I was a kid, a small was a gigantic one, and then I look over at what the large is, and I say, a human being can drink that much in a sitting? How? It's amazing.
Yeah, we just see the portion sizes have gotten bigger and bigger. And one of the things we're interested in our lab is that when you're using an addictive substance, you start to develop a tolerance to it. And that's why maybe the first time you had an alcoholic beverage, you'd start to feel tipsy after one or two beers. But if you're drinking regularly, you need more and more alcohol or stronger and stronger alcohol to get that same effect. And I think on a whole societal level, because we're so flooded by these, foods that kind of mimic the effects of drugs, that we now, having that little small soda just doesn't quite get the reward level that you want. And so we're always kind of looking and craving for like more intensely sweet foods, larger quantities of these foods, and it just seems to keep escalating.
And I bet really with the larger quantities,
are we getting tolerant?
I bet people are saying, well, this is a better value. Look, for the same amount of money, I'm getting a much bigger cup of soda. I'm getting a much bigger hamburger. I bet for a lot of people that registers as, we're making out great on this deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, especially if you don't have a lot of money to spend on food. And for a lot of people in the U.S., like, there are periods of time that families go hungry because they don't have enough money to get food. So, when you do have that money, the paycheck comes in, or, you get some support, you want to get the biggest bang for your buck. So, it's tempting to go down that road.
I also know a little bit about marketing, and like if you just have an extra large for $6, people will be like, well, that's way too much money for a drink. But if the large is $5.25, hey, for only 75 cents more, but you don't realize how much they've overpriced it. The other place I noticed this besides the drive-through, and I'm talking about like eating way too much of the wrong stuff, is at movie theaters. And movie theaters, like Bill says, they've got like the 88-ounce, lemonade, and then it's free refills.
And it says your best value, big arrow, your best value.
And I always love the people that get up in the middle of like a suspense thriller because they're going to need to go to 172 ounces now of lemonade.
Let alone the bathroom break.
Right.
And, I think the thing we see with movie theaters or when you're watching sports or watching TV is that it catches your attention, and all of a sudden you're just mindlessly shoveling the food in your mouth. You're not even aware of how much you're eating. And so next thing you know, at the end of the movie, you have a stomachache because you're so uncomfortable by how much you've been eating.
We're talking about the sad but true story of fast food addiction. Dr. Ashley Gearhart is our guest. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. More after this, it's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's in for Wendy. Our guest is Dr. Ashley Gearhart, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Michigan. We're talking about fast food addiction. Ashley, we've not brought this up yet, but I know this plays a huge, huge factor, and that's the idea of a happy meal or something like a happy meal where fast food places buy kids love by giving them toys. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we're really concerned about kids in our lab, and the reason why is from the addiction world, one of the things we know is that kids, teenagers, their brains are far more vulnerable to the negative effects of addictive substances. And so the research suggesting that, you know, junk food starts to kind of mimic the effects of addiction on the brain. I mean, if this is hitting our kids and our teenagers and they're having these foods and being targeted for these foods a lot, they might be even more vulnerable to experience the negative consequences and show changes in their brain associated with addiction. So I think the toys and the ways to try and get them in and associate these junk foods with really like happy emotions could have some risky consequences.
Ashley, when I was Bill and I, you probably can't tell with me. You'll know right away with Bill, but we both used to do stand up, and on the road a lot of times you'd stay in hotel rooms. And I realized when I was driving back from the comedy club that this is gonna be my last chance to get food, to get something to eat. So I would go through the drive through. I would often get two sandwiches instead of one because I didn't want to leave the hotel again and get in the car and go look for something. And I would get a big drink. And to this day, when I'm driving home late at night, especially if it's like some type of appearance or performance, I have this urge to go through a fast food place because that's what I did for so long. Will this ever go away?
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, the biggest thing that we see and that we try and equip people to help them navigate is your cues and your habits that you've developed about when you ate these foods. They don't ever fully go away, to be honest. They weaken over time. That's the good news. Like, the longer you go where you haven't done it, the less intense that trigger will be. But if you're tired or you're stressed or something like that, and you see one of your old triggers, your old habits when you used to use it, that craving is going to go way up. And so the more you know what those are for yourself, they can be people, places, times, emotions, things, the more equipped you are to protect yourself.
I want to be fair to fast food places and say this. They have, in recent years, made some progress in offering some healthy alternatives. Is it enough, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have seen some improvements. And especially, I think the one that makes me the happiest is different fast food companies have tried to, particularly for their kid meals, start making that the default option is milk rather than soda and apple slices rather than french fries. Those things really help because...
those apple slices are great if you dip them into Hershey's syrup.
No, you're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to.
Yeah, can't control that. The next step of what you do with them, if you use them to get your milkshake in your mouth, it kind of reduces some of the health effects. But we see if those things are good. Here's my concern is from the brain research, we see that what happens, at least in animals, is that the more you give them a junk food diet, the brain's reward system starts to adapt. And it says, and I only feel rewarded when I'm getting these hyper intense foods. And even though I used to like, the apple slices of the rodent world, now my brain doesn't even care about that. That doesn't trigger me at all. And so what we've seen in these animal models is that once you start introducing junk food into the diet, the animals won't eat their healthy food, and they'll actually go out into these electrified mazes and risk getting shocked to try and find junk food. The junk food is just so much more powerful. So one of the things I worry about is like, If the menu is still like 80-90% junk food, and maybe you have 10% like salads and apple slices, but our brains are so wired to only want those like hyper intensely rewarding foods, it may not matter. And so I think of it as like, if you just add more water to the bar, like people aren't going to suddenly stop drinking booze and switch to water. So we really do kind of need to rebalance these things where maybe the dominant option is the healthy food.
I studied a little bit of advertising in school, and I realized that when I'm in a fast food place and I look at the pictures of the items up on the attraction board, they've made the food that are not good for you more attractive. They're in a more fun setting somehow than the healthier foods. You've seen that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. In our research, it was really interesting. We've done some studies where we show advertisements for junk food and advertisements for healthy food, even from the same companies. And the way they're advertised is wildly different. So So if you have a junk food, it's so much easier to sell. The company just does this like tight shot, these slow-mos of, you know, chocolate milkshake fountains and, you know, bubbling bacon on a grill. And we're just designed in our brains to just immediately react, right?
Right?
It's not that hard even talking about it. You're maybe starting to crave a little bit. But when they're trying to sell the healthy food, I mean, seeing a bowl of lettuce just doesn't get our brain that
right.
excited.
Right.
And so they often will not even really show the food that much, but will maybe tell a story about, you know, feeling good and, you know, feeling healthy. And look, there's people surfing and jogging. And, oh, yeah, by the way, eat a salad.
Right.
So it's not that it's a different ballgame to try and sell those healthier foods.
You know, my other home away from home is the ballpark or going to the United Center to watch the Blackhawks or the Bulls. And what Bill is talking about, you know, it's not like going to a carnival. Growing up, like, do you want a hot dog? You know, do you want popcorn? You know, you got like four options. Now it's like you're walking through an arcade of taste choices, and they've got six kinds of different hot dogs, and they got 22 kinds of, like, local restaurants are, you know, letting you, you know, sample their fares. And I used to love going to the games because I loved my favorite teams. And my son, I'll ask him, I'll say, do you want to go to the game? And he'll say, oh, they got great food there. You know, so I'm really worried that, like, you know, he's missing the big picture. How do I amend this?
Yeah, gosh. I feel for parents. I just had my first child, and it
congratulations.
Opened a whole new world, thank you, of stress about, you know, how do you as a parent protect your kid when we're all targeted, but kids are particularly targeted, and kids don't care necessarily as much about the long-term consequences, right? They're not worried about their cholesterol numbers. They want the, you know, tasty food that's in the exciting packaging. And so as a parent, you know, we don't have the silver bullet here on what to do. And I think it's important to be, you know, kind to yourself that there's no obvious way. I think one of the things that you can do is you want to try and hit that middle ground where you're not too rigid and say you will not eat any of this ever, because then, you know, kids, it's the forbidden fruit. But being totally permissive and saying, sure, you can have every single one of those hot dogs you want to try, and then the popcorn and then the ice cream. It's maybe setting up an option where you kind of get one treat during the baseball game. And, you know, that's a special thing that you get to have, but it's not like the entire thing you do the whole time you're at the ballpark. Like, every inning is a new treat, you know? So that way it's not forbidden, but it still feels like a special thing, not the entire reason to go.
Ashley, really appreciate your time today. If people want to hear more, we'll put a link on our Facebook page to what you've written about fast food addiction. It really is a very serious problem in our country and probably the world at this point, right? Not just America, but in other places too, huh?
Yeah, it's absolutely growing.
Yep.
We're just seeing that it's going all over the world.
You know how addicted I am, Ashley? Right now in the studio, I'm dressed as Colonel Sanders.
For no reason. Very peculiar. Very peculiar. Ashley, congrats on the baby. That's wonderful news. And again, thank you for spending time with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
It's Dr. Ashley Gearhart. We'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Oh, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.